It is so great to see you this morning. Thank you very much for being here, for being a part, an active part in our worship service today. Thank you for singing out with all your heart. Thank you for being here if you're visiting with us. What a blessing it is to be able to gather, to be able to worship, to be able to worship our Father in spirit and in truth. Please continue to remember those that Justin mentioned earlier on our prayer list, those who are struggling, those who've lost loved ones, those who have upcoming surgeries, those who've been in the hospital. But then also continue to remember those who are battling COVID. We do have some of those who are over that and able to be back today, and we're thankful for that. But there are still those of our number that are still struggling with it. So please protect yourselves the best you can. And certainly glad that you're here. If you are tuned in to us this morning, thank you for being on our live stream as well. Do want to say that I love Outdoor Bible. We've had a lot of folks over the years involved in Outdoor Bible, and currently we have the Hood family helping a lot with that. And so all the efforts that have gone into that from the start of it to even now has just been great. And for me personally, it's a blessing because my children have both been through Outdoor Bible. My daughter is still part of that great curriculum that's going on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. But also my son has now been able to teach up there. And so today, I appreciate George and such helping them. He's helping get some of these teenagers ready to be teachers in the future. And so Bo was able to teach the class on his own. And apparently they're studying the Psalms, I believe. And so they wrote a song that I'm not going to sing. I don't know what the melody would be anyhow. But Taylor Grace, Yerbedra, Eli Galloway, Dawson Ward, and Harper May. I believe y'all were in class today, right? And y'all wrote this song. And I just want to share it with you. Lord, you are big. A king and alpha. You made the toys and happiness. You helped me put together a 1,500-piece Lego set. I know you love me because He is God. He gave me resources to live. He helps me find Legos. And He helped me have fun. I mean, that's a song that they made up. And I don't know, just to see the inside of their minds and to know that my son, who's a part of the program, is helping direct that, I don't know, it just does this father's heart good. And so thank you to those who are involved in it, and to those who aren't involved in it. Maybe you need to go back and listen to class if you weren't in it this morning. We're talking about involvement, conviction, and those things. And if you are not bringing your children to it, let me challenge you and encourage you to do that. We're talking about identity. I'm going to let today be the conclusion of this little series of lessons. Over the last 3 weeks, starting this being our third week, we've talked about some things about finding out who we are. We've asked the question, who am I? And you need to make that question personal. That question should be a question that you find out who you are. And I hope when you find out who you are, it's not just defined by your profession. It's not defined by your economic status. It's not defined by the way you perform your hobbies and other things. I hope your definition of who you are is that you and I are children of the King, that we belong to Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about Jesus and His identity. It's a blessing to know that as we elevate ourselves to be better soul winners for Jesus Christ, we're reminded that Jesus knew exactly who He was. He never was in doubt of what His mission was and who He was to become. And so once we submit ourselves to Christ and we let our identity now be found in Christ than in the world, we are reminded that we are also a part of His church. We are a part of His people. We are God's chosen people, His own special people. We are heirs to God as we are part of the ecclesia, the called out, the way, the church of our Lord, the church of Jesus Christ. So today, as we are finding out as a church who we are, I want to remind us all of what we are to do. As Justin mentioned earlier, we talked a lot about seeds and planting seeds, and Walk for Water is able to help do those things, and we're involved in that. But today, what I really want to challenge us as a church is to step up our seed scattering. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus gives His disciples, He gives His apostles at this point, their mission. Today, we are not apostles of Jesus Christ because we do not meet those qualifications. But we are disciples. We are followers. We are the church of our Lord. So this mission that was given to those apostles also is very applicable to us today. Here's what Jesus said. You're familiar with it. Jesus came to them and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." In other words, I have the right to say this, I promise you. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We call that in the church the Great Commission. The reason we call it the Great Commission is because we are commissioned. We are commissioned by the Savior, Jesus Christ. We are commissioned by God to go and spread the good news. But it's also the Great Commission because it is great in itself, but it's also a large challenge. It shouldn't be as large as sometimes we make it out to be, though. But it is a huge task to go into all the world and make disciples. Now, we're going to break down making disciples today. We're going to talk about what that means. But what He really is trying to get us to understand, I believe, in this challenge, this mission, is that we are to go. If you understand from your English classes, when that is given there and there is no per se subject, it's that silent you, right? It's that silent you that says, "You go." Okay, when He says go, He's talking to you and He's talking to me. Again, He was talking to His apostles literally here, but He's still talking to us. Go. And here's what He says. Plant seeds. Making disciples is about planting seeds. It's about getting folks to understand who Jesus is. Getting folks to the point that they want to follow Jesus. But then, as we understand, once we plant and we water, God, He says, is going to supply the increase. So what do? We baptize them. Souls will be baptized once God supplies that increase, and they will be added to the kingdom. That is church growth. That is how we grow. But it doesn't happen if we do not plant seeds. That has to be our identity. That has to be who we are. We are to go and evangelize. We are to go and plant seeds. We are to go and put in a good word for Jesus Christ. We are to go and tell the story. We are to go and tell our story. We are to go and help folks understand how Jesus has impacted us and how He can impact them. And then what happens is someone else may come along the way and water that seed. Or we may have an opportunity to water that seed. And then you know what happens? It starts to grow in that heart. And that conviction is there. And then people will come and say, "Hey, I want to know Jesus. I want to be a follower." Then we baptize them into Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. Then we continue to teach them. That is church growth. You cannot spell the word grow without the word go. And so with that being said, it is our mission to understand that by osmosis, it's not going to just magically happen here. We can sit in these pews, and by the way, I like sitting in these pews. They're comfortable. The air feels really good today. I can listen and participate and sing just like you. God is here. We are to worship. But when we leave out of here, that's when the work begins. Because they're not just going to magically come. Yes, from time to time, people show up at our doors and they want to know more. But it's our mission to go. It's our mission to plant. It's our mission to water. And it's our mission to help lead these souls to Jesus Christ once God supplies that increase. So today, I want to take you on a journey and I want to talk to you about planting seeds. In order to do that, we need to talk about the parable of the sower. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 13, please. Matthew 13, we're going to read together verses 1 through 9. Matthew 13, beginning in verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The last time I checked, we all have ears. Now, some of our ears may not hear as well as once they did. But with the microphone and my big voice here, my loud voice, I want you to hear Jesus' words this morning. Jesus said, every seed you plant is not going to yield a great crop. He said, in fact, some is going to just fall along the wayside. And birds are going to come and they're going to love that seed. They're going to be like, "Thank you for planting me some food today." And they're going to eat it all. And then he said, some are going to grow on some stony ground where it might have a little bit of dirt, just enough to germinate that seed and that seed spring up. But because of the rock around it and the sun is going to scorch down and it's going to burn it up. Some's going to fall in a thicket where there's a bunch of thorns and a bunch of weeds and a bunch of other things, and it's going to try to grow, but because of the nastiness around it, it's going to choke it out and it's going to die. He said, but there's some. Oh, there's some that it's going to fall on the greatest soil there is. Fertile soil, filled with nutrients, filled with whatever it needs to grow and populate. And man, it's going to yield a crop that you can't even imagine. In all of that, here's what Jesus did not say. He did not say, because there are stones, because there are thorns, and because there are birds, you shouldn't plant seeds. That's not what Jesus said. I'd love to tell you today that you will go and tell your family about Jesus today. And every one of them will want to get baptized today. I'd love to tell you that. But that just may not be the case. But you still go and tell them. Okay? Here's what you got to understand. Jesus didn't say, you pick and choose who you tell Jesus Christ to. He didn't say, you pick and choose who you plant seeds. He said, you go and you plant seeds. It's up to them and up to God who that seed falls into. You see, when I realized that as a minister, and I had some help, and I'm still trying to learn it a lot better. When I realized that, though, it took so much pressure off. Because he said, you go and be a Christian. You go and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. You go and plant seeds. God and the others watering, but God especially will supply that increase. You see, as a church, I think people quit spreading seeds because they do not see those seeds grow. And that gets discouraging. It gets discouraging when you tell somebody about Jesus and they don't want to hear it. Or they hear it for a little while. They may even get baptized, but then they fizzle out again. And you think, you know what? Everybody I tell about Jesus, they either say no, they don't want to hear it, or whatever. And so we quit doing it. That's when we quit growing. That's when disappointment happens. But I'm here to tell you this morning, I believe God, more importantly, that is here to tell us this morning that we can't quit growing. We can't quit planting. We can't quit watering. If we do, this church will get older. What I mean by that is we will get older. We will get a lot more gray hair. We will get a lot more feeble. And eventually, we will die. The church will not die. But this particular congregation, if we quit planting seeds, we will die. So somewhere along the way, we've got to find our identity again. We've got to find out who we are. Now listen, I'm not saying that we're not planting seeds. I believe we are. But we need everybody on board. We need everybody up to bat. And what I mean by that is this. When you go to work tomorrow, you got to plant seeds. When you go to school in a few weeks, children, teenagers, you got to plant seeds. When we go to the grocery store, we got to plant seeds. When we go to the ballpark, we've got to plant seeds. When we go to wherever we go, whether it's the stony ground, the thorny bushes, the birds are eating it left and right, or the fertile ground, our mission is to not judge who we're planting it to. Our mission is to plant. So in order to do that, I want to look at a story this morning to better understand that. And that story, oh, before we do that, got ahead of myself. When you see that, what do you think about? Don't say it out loud. Some of y'all are thinking, yes. Some of y'all are thinking, ugh. But no matter what, you've got an idea. You've got a concept, right? You see those arches, something comes to mind. Or what about this one? Same thing, right? You might say yum, you might say yuck. You might say something else. But you got a thought. What about that one? Right? Same way. We see that logo. It could mean, yes, we're going to make some sale or some save some money, or I'm never going there again. Same with this one. You see, these logos are all part of who we are. They're all part of our society. Whether you like them or whether you don't. I could have done the Alabama and Auburn one too, but I didn't. But whether you like them or whether you don't, you've got an opinion. So what about this one? What about this one? I know that's a building. You know, I mean, I get it, okay? But I didn't have a picture of all of us. That is the Azalea City Church of Christ building, as you're well aware. When we go into this community, there are people going to have an opinion about us. What are they going to say? Are they going to say, that person is always rude? That person is always this. Are they going to say, that person loves Jesus Christ? That person loves Jesus Christ and their church so much, they are always planting seeds. They are always talking. They are always inviting. They are always encouraging. You see, we have a mindset. That mindset may be good, or that mindset may be bad. But today, our mindset, I'm challenging you to think on good things, to think about planting seeds, to think about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere you go, even if you were in prison. Turn, please, to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. This, to me, is one of the most powerful, and if I can say this okay, coolest acts of evangelism in all the Bible. We just studied the life of Paul, and we discussed this in Vacation Bible School just a couple months ago. But pick up in Acts chapter 16, and let's read together verses 25 and following. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Or according to this lesson, they were planting seeds. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we're all here." More seed planting, by the way. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Now, I want to remind you why Paul and Silas are in prison. They're in prison in Acts chapter 16 because they planted seeds. Think about that. They were going everywhere planting seeds. Guess what? It fell on some stony ground. Okay? It fell, the seeds they planted to put them in prison fell on some stony ground. Because the people didn't like it. They didn't want anything of it. And so they arrested them. Well, in prison, Paul and Silas could have said, "You know what? I'm going to lay off the seed planting just a little bit right now." Oh, no. They're in prison. What do? They keep planting seeds. And along the way, what's going to happen? It falls on some fertile soil. Paul and Silas didn't care where it fell. They only cared about planting the seed of Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's easy to go to a certain person and ask them. Sometimes it's easy to go to a church member that goes to another church in town that's already saved and say, "Hey, why don't you come over here and join us?" You see, that's not, again, we if people are unhappy and they want to come worship, we will have that, and that's happened, right? But at the end of the day, that's not really seed planting. Some even call that sheep stealing. But sometimes we think we're growing when that happens. But do you know there's a community out here that they don't know the truth? Or we said, "Hey, they're so indoctrinated with this over here that we're not." We cannot judge the heart it's going to fall on. But we're going to be judged if we don't plant the seed. Paul and Silas didn't care. Some of the seed they planted got them arrested. But then some of the seed they planted became Christians and followed Jesus Christ. I've been working with Mobile Christian for a long, long time. I've been working with the football program for a long, long time. I was an employee and a coach there a long time ago now. And then when I came into ministry full time, my children went there, and And so when Bo was in the second grade, he started playing football, and I took over the elementary program. And I along the way, coached these kids football, but I tried to teach them Jesus Christ. Well, then Bo got to middle school, and Coach Cottrell asked me to start doing the strength and conditioning for them. And it worked out real well. And so we teach these kids, and they've gotten a lot stronger. And I don't have time to tell you about that, how proud of them I am on that. But along the way, we got to planting seeds. Justin also came on board. Justin had some doors closed on him on some things. And then they opened up, and I said, hey, Justin, instead of having a few that you're going to impact, now you got 60. And so we both go over there, and you know what? We're teaching them football, but we're planting seeds. We're planting seeds. We're planting seeds. Every year, I could get discouraged because kids didn't get baptized. But then all of a sudden, this summer, 10 of them got baptized. You see the point? You plant, you plant, you plant. You don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know if they're really going to obey it. You don't know if it's... But that's not my responsibility, was to plant the seed. Just like Paul and Silas in prison and everywhere they went. I believe this lesson teaches us some great things about understanding who we are as a church. Some very practical lessons that we can learn from Paul and Silas in this. And here's number one. If we're going to be great seed planters, we've got to learn to look. Acts 16, verse 28 again. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. You know what Paul did? He looked. Think about that now. Think about why he is in prison, because he preached the gospel. He planted the seeds of Jesus Christ. Well, guess what? God sent an earthquake, and now they're free. Instead of thinking about themselves and running out of there as soon as the amen prayer was over, so to speak, he looked. And I believe he said, hey, there's one more. There's one more. Maybe the Holy Spirit miraculously directed him. I don't know. But here's what I know. He didn't leave. He looked. He looked around, and there was the jailer. He was concerned. Not Paul, that is. He was concerned with not his own escape. He was concerned with planting the seed into the heart of the Philippian jailer. We get so distracted in life, I believe we forget to look for souls around us. You know, this is a lost art when you talk to kids today. And we deal with it all the time. And of course, because now we've trained most of these kids, they get it. But I tell them, look me in the eyes. Kids are so distracted and everything else today. They're like, yeah, look, I know you're listening to me when you look me in the eyes. Sometimes we forget to look in people's eyes. Sometimes when you look in somebody's eyes, you know what you see? You see hurt. You see anger. You see love. You see all the emotions out there, but when we really focus and we really look, we can see when somebody needs to hear about Jesus Christ. And by the way, everybody needs to hear about Jesus Christ. Oh, well, I'm so ADD. I joined the club. Me too. Okay, I get it. And listen, my worst problem, it's probably not my worst problem, but I have a really bad problem of when you're talking to me, my mind's going 1,000 miles an hour. I want to answer for you. I want to answer your question or your thought for you. And it drives me crazy that I do that. I know it drives you crazy. But it drives me crazy that I do that, but I'm working on it. So don't tell me I get distracted, because I do too. There's a lot going on in life. We're busy people. We have so many things going on. But it is still our mission to look for souls to have the seed of Jesus Christ planted. We've got devices. We've got busy. But what it really boils down to is we've just quit looking. You know what Jesus did? He looked for the poor. He looked for the sick. He looked for the diseased. He looked for those struggling. And I'm so thankful to God this morning. He looked for you and He looked for me. We can never get so distracted that we quit looking. I've never been in prison feared for my life. I hope that never happens. But if miraculously those chains get free, boy, I certainly hope I can look around and see one more soul. That's what Paul did. That's what Silas did. Let's don't forget to look. Secondly, this morning, I think this is a big one. We can't forget to listen. Verse 30, Acts 16. And he brought them out and said, this is the jailer now, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul didn't say, man, shut your mouth, it's time to go. Now you got to remember, okay? See the scene. They've been arrested and put in the inner prison where that's maximum security. Do not let these people out or else. Well, now there's a prison break, so to speak. God has sent this earthquake. The jailer doesn't want to get, maybe he doesn't want to get tortured. He's just going to go ahead and end it right there. This was my job. They've escaped. Well, now he has their attention because Paul looked and he saw and he said, oh no, we're all here. Well, the jailer then says, what do I need to do to be saved? Now, that was not a real convenient time. Let's just be real. There are people coming, I would imagine, and they need to get out of there. But you know what Paul did? Instead of thinking about, let's just go, I'll tell you later, he listened. I think sometimes we struggle with listening. As a counselor, you know what the number one responsibility we have is? Listen. When somebody comes and talks, listen. I don't like awkward silence, and that's really hard for me sometimes. I want to talk. I get nervous. Maybe it's my ADD. I don't know. You ask a question, they don't answer. I'm like, I'm ready to ask another question. Let's go. But our responsibility is to listen. Husbands, you know why you get in trouble? You guessed it. You don't listen. Maybe as Christians, that's why we get in trouble. James said it this way, be swift to hear and slow to speak. We need to look for the struggling, and then we need to listen to their hurts. Exodus 3:7, then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their suffering. Psalm 34:17, the ESV reads it this way, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. 2 Kings 20, verse 5, this is Hezekiah. Get your house in order. You're going to die. Hezekiah turns to the wall and cries. Here's the response to that. Turn back and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go to the house of the Lord. There's a people out there that are hurting. Maybe they're on the pews with you. Maybe they're in your family. Maybe they're in line at the grocery store. You know, sometimes, listen, it's hard. We got a lot of things going on, a lot of things that we're struggling with. But just maybe that's the fertile soil. And just maybe we need to continue to plant that seed. So we need to look. Paul and Silas looked and they saw him. They listened. Even in a time of we got to hurry up and get out of here, they listened to him say, what do I need to do to inherit Jesus Christ? But then thirdly, we've got to be lively. I struggled for a word to fit in with the L's here. I really wanted the word joy, okay? I looked up synonyms for joy, and lively was one of them, and I thought that's kind of fitting. Go back now to Acts 16. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, this is before they go to jail now. These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. In other words, they're planting seeds of Jesus Christ, and we don't like it. The multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. I mean, you want to talk about excess. I mean, this is silly, serious, but very silly the way they responded. But what were they guilty of? They had actually cast a demon out of a person, but they were planting the seeds of Jesus Christ. And they get up, they rip their clothes, and they're in mourning, and they're like, these people trouble us, let's beat them with rods. Verse 23. They had laid many stripes on them. They threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison, fastened their feet in the stocks. Then, verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were lively. They were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners, and I would suggest jailer, were listening to them. In this story, we see true joy. You see, joy doesn't come from the amount of money that's in our bank accounts. Joy doesn't come from buying a brand new vehicle or a bigger house or a bigger car or a bigger boat or a bigger fill in the blank. That may bring happiness, but it's not true joy. How can Paul and Silas, who've just been beaten with rods, not 39 times, many times, because that was a Jewish law, not a Roman law, how could they be singing songs of praise and praying prayers of thanksgiving, I'm confident it was thanksgiving, to God? Because true joy comes from Jesus Christ. The worst thing, that's a bold statement, one of the worst things we could do is to walk around like we just ate a whole bag full of lemons as Christians. You want to plant seeds? You don't have to want to, you have to. We have to. That is our identity, okay? That is who we are. Go and plant seeds in all the world. Let's not act like we just ate a whole bag of lemons. Change your face. Change your heart. Change your attitude. Change your mind. Let's be lively. I like the word lively the more I looked at it because it's the opposite of deadly. The worst thing, one of the worst things we can do as Christians is to walk around like we're dead. Folks, another children's song that we talk about that ought not be a children's song is I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Remember we've seen that? The devil doesn't like it. He can sit on the tag, all that stuff. I've got the joy, joy. If the joy, joy, joy is down in my heart, then I'm not going to walk around like my dog just got hit. Okay? Paul and Silas didn't, because their Christianity was alive. They were joyous. And I suggest to you that this is what ultimately led the jailer to Jesus Christ. Maybe they didn't realize they were planting seeds, but they were. When my dad used to say, son, actually he didn't even have to say it. He had a whistle, like, you know? And if it was past 7 o'clock, he was whistling. Cut grass, whatever project he had, you better be up and you better be out there. I didn't walk out there like, yes! Did you, Todd? We didn't walk out there, woohoo! Can't wait. No, we walked out there like we just ate a bunch of lemons. You know why? Because I didn't have any joy doing that. But if my dad called me today and needed the grass cut, I'd be thankful to go over there that I still have my dad and help him. You see, that's the difference, isn't it? The way we approach things. When we love God and appreciate God for who He is, people will see the joy on our face. The jailer didn't need a 3-point sermon with an introduction and a conclusion and an invitation, because Paul and Silas were planting the seeds when they were singing those songs and praying those prayers. The devil in this world wants us to be miserable and sad. If you don't believe me, turn on the news tonight. If you don't want to be depressed, then don't turn on the news tonight. We need to be seed scatterers that are lively and excited. Oh man, Justin, Wofford Water is so hot. It's so miserable. I just give him some money. I don't really want to be. And I'm not saying you got to be a part. Again, Colton said just give him the check. You know, he didn't care if you come or not. But the point of it is, how do we approach it? You know? Oh, it's going to be hot. We'll probably be on day 50 of heat advisory that day. It's going to be hot. But why are we doing it? Somebody once said, laughter is the shortest distance between two people. I wrote in my book, 21 Habits, that even if you can't speak someone's language, laughter is a universal language. I've been in places, Ukraine specifically, I didn't understand what Vitaly or somebody was saying, but he'd say something, I'd say something, and we couldn't understand, we just laughed. And we were able to communicate that way. Finding ways to have fun and laugh together has opened many doors to ministry. Back when we could go to hospitals, Lorraine, you know what I'm talking about. We'd laugh and cut up, wouldn't we? People would say, where do y'all go to church? You know why? Because those kinds of things show the joy of Jesus Christ. So much of what we do in life is difficult. It's draining. And it's downright not fun. Solomon said there's a time for the difficult. In other words, there's a time to cry. But he also said there's a time to laugh. We need to be a people that others want what we have. We need to smile more. We need to laugh more. We need to be joyous about planting seeds. Finally, this morning, we got to be a people of love. Acts 16:31, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them. He rejoiced, that's that joy that he only finds through Jesus Christ, having believed in God with all his household. If we do not truly love the people, Paul and Silas loved this jailer. Or they would have left town, folks, let's face it. They would have left town if they didn't love him. If we do not truly love the people we serve and minister to, then we aren't being like Jesus Christ. Jesus said the second greatest commandment is to love others. Obviously the first being to love God. This should be the norm to all of us believers. We live in a world of hate. We live in a world of, you know, anything goes but religion. Think about that. Everything that we do is going to be scrutinized. That doesn't mean we quit doing it. It doesn't mean we don't plant. Oh, well, there's some, those people aren't going to be receptive to the gospel. That's not my call. That's not your call. How many people are sitting in here today that you weren't receptive at the beginning? But eventually that soil became fertile. I've had people in here tell me that somebody came and taught the truth to them and they said, "Get out of my house. Get out of my face. I don't want to hear this anymore." But at the end of the day, they're here today. Because eventually that seed got water. Because somebody took the time to look. Somebody took the time to listen. To be lively about their belief in Jesus Christ. And they did it all through love. Paul taught that if we have all the ministry skills in the world, but have not love, then we are just making noise like clanging cymbals together. Love is the glue that keeps everything stuck together. Today, we have come to a point in time in our worship where there is an opportunity for someone or some 10 to walk this aisle and confess the greatest name of all and be immersed in water, contacting the blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of all their sins. Once that happens, not only are you forgiven, but God adds you to this church, adds you to His church. You see, if somebody does that today, chances are it wasn't this sermon that did it. It was a seed that's been planted. And today it's been watered. And today God supplies that increase. If somebody does that, it's because somebody took the time to look, to listen, they were lively about their faith, and they did it all in love. Today are we that Philippian jailer? Or maybe there's another need. Maybe we just need to come and get back to seed scattering. You see, this song's a song of opportunity. And if the opportunity convicts your heart right now, we encourage you to come as together we stand and sing.